Sex and happiness
both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you are listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, the show about sex and happiness. And today's show is going to make you sexier and happier. It's a guarantee. I'm really excited about my guest because I've just returned from a week in Massachusetts, in western Massachusetts, in the Berkshires, where it was cold for me, where I was teaching with this wonderful man and his partner. It was a thrill for me to be with him. I transformed myself even while I was facilitating. Things happened for me, changes happened for me as a result of being with him, being in his presence, and co-facilitating with him, that they're priceless. That's all I can say. So I'm very happy to have him as my guest today. His name is Ohad Ezri. He is from Israel originally, but now he's hanging out in the unknown. He's in New York at the moment, but he's definitely hanging out in the unknown, which you know how tantric that is, you all who have been listening and following the show. Anyway, he came from a background of almost no religiosity, but he was forced himself into what is the meaning of life, and that took him on his spiritual journey. And on that journey, he's experimented with various things, and they're intense, the things he's experimented with. So he put himself into rabbinical study and became a rabbi in the faith of Judaism. And then he became a Kabbalistic studier and a Kabbalistic rabbi. So he studied the Kabbalah. And then he went into other forms of spirituality. And somehow on that path, it led him to sacred sexuality. And in the course of that, he met Baba Dez, who all of you know because he's been my guest many times, and he is now teaching, along with many other offerings that he gives, he is teaching that ISTA course, the ISTA Level 1, the ISTA Level 2, and soon the ISTA Level 3. And so it is my pleasure today to introduce you to Ohad Ezri. Ohad, welcome to my show.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you. Just to correct, it's not Ezri, it's Ezrachi. I know it's hard for American to say, but Ezrachi. Yeah, that's how we say it in Hebrew. Yeah.
Let me try it. Ezrachi.
You did. Yeah, you got it.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that.
Yeah.
So here we are, and you know, you and I know each other, but let's assume that no one listening to my show or watching my show has any clue of you. Let's just start with your beginning. How did you go from almost nothing, almost no training, to putting yourself into rabbinical school and then going into Kabbalah? How did that happen? What did you wake up one day and say to yourself?
Oh, whoa. First of all, those who don't have a clue about me, they're just like me. I don't have a clue about me. I can tell a story, but we always like, you know, is the person the story? We can tell the story, but the truth is a mystery that lies behind all those, and we can all tell many stories about ourselves. If you ask about this one, I grew up in Israel. I grew up in a very secular family, was in a very left-wing atheist, Shomer HaTzair, youth movement. And I was searching all my life. I was searching really since I was a baby. I think I was like searching for something, for some meaning. And it took me to nature, really deep immersion in nature, in the desert, and to be interested in shamanism. Talking about the late 70s, beginning of the 80s, I was a teenager, and Buddhism and Taoism and Zen. And eventually, at the end, I found that Judaism, in its Hasidic, Kabbalistic aspect, has so much in common with those paths. So I said, hey, you know, before I, you know, go far to Japan and study Zen or whatever it is, let's go to Jerusalem, which is an hour drive, and see what they have to offer. In my mind, I was going for half a year to study something, but that took me, I don't know, 15 years.
How many?
Something like that.
How many did you say? 15?
15.
Were you commuting the whole time, or did you actually?
Oh, no, no. I moved to Jerusalem. I entered the yeshiva. I started to study. I actually came and I said I want to study Kabbalah, and they said, because it's the very orthodox tradition, they kind of made fun of me. They said, like, Kabbalah, what do you mean? You know nothing about the basics. How do you want to learn the mysteries? So I said, fine, teach me the basics. I'm coming like tabula rasa, you know, teach me everything.
Yeah.
So then I studied the Talmudic studies and the Torah and, you know, all the Jewish law, and I was examined and everything. I wasn't looking for becoming a rabbi. I became a rabbi, but that wasn't my search. I wasn't looking for a job. I was in a spiritual search, basically to learn Kabbalah, and then when they saw that I was ready after 2 years of studies, they said, okay, now you're ready for Kabbalah. And my mentor, who was the Admor, which is kind of the highest authority of the Hasidic group that I was, so he gave me some private mentors to teach me, to kind of bring me into Kabbalah. So I had really the opportunity to study Kabbalah in the most orthodox way for several years, like in the special yeshiva institute that is for Kabbalists in Jerusalem, in the old parts of Jerusalem. Then it wasn't enough for me, because after some years I felt like, you know, there's so much information that is censored by the orthodox way. So I went also to academy, and I spent also around 7 years in academy studying philosophy and Jewish thought and Kabbalah from the academic perspective, just to kind of, you know, to have a fuller knowledge of that in a short way.
Yeah, that's great. That's perfect, because it's a lot, and that's a different way. Most people who find their way to Tantra, sacred sexuality, the aspect of body, mind, and spirit, they don't usually find it through Judaism necessarily, or through Kabbalah or Orthodox Hasidism. Mostly they find it, you know, they go into the New Age. And you came a very big, long, different path. And so I think it's noteworthy. I think it's important to let people know. You know, you're not a guy who just...
Yeah, I went from the old age.
Yeah, you're not a guy who just says, okay, I just want the pinky nail bit. You want the whole pie.
I went for the whole thing. Truthfully, you know, that the sometimes said truth is that I can say today that I'm very literate in a lot of knowledge that I think is unneeded for humanity.
Yeah, okay, you know, that's great. Thanks for saying.
Yeah. So I can be a scholar, I can be a professor in the university, but stuff like that, or a rabbi, but if I ask, like, how much of this knowledge is actually important for a human being, a lot of it I would just close in a closet and say, like, you know, irrelevant anymore.
Yeah.
There is stuff that is relevant, and I learned a lot. I'm not, like, putting it down, just like, to be honest, maybe sometimes I think the fact of studying, of the devotion itself for studying, is more important than what you learn in that case. So what I learned, okay, I know Jewish law, and I know whatever, we think they are really not important. But the devotional part of really devoting my life to God and studying and praying and being in a devotional, living in devotion, that was more important than the content.
Yeah, I got you. I really got you. So we're going to take a really short break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what you're passionate about. You know, what it is that you now have come to that moves you, that makes you move all around the world, that makes you show up for your life, and then the devotion that you give in service. And that's what we're going to speak about. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. If you just tuned in, you are listening to a show where a man, Ohad Ezrahi, I think I said it pretty well, in my American way, is talking to me about how he kept searching and searching for what there was for meaning in life, and how he's come full circle from Orthodox Judaism into the heart of sacred sexuality. So stay tuned. We are having a great time with this, and you will too.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Wow, sex magic. Laurie Handler's sex magic.
The workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to let go.
That shouldn't be called sex magic. It should be called sex miracle.
That she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with, and there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself, so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic, I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
The next Sex Magic course is January 30th, 31st, and February 1st in Phoenix, Arizona.
What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on Workshops, and find out more about sex magic. It's magical.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host, and I'm interviewing Ohad Ezrahi. And Ohad has just told us about his journey into studying Judaism, becoming a rabbi, going into Hasidism, the history of things, and then Kabbalah. And then where he came out, that wasn't enough for him. So I told him in the last segment that we'd be speaking now about what he's passionate about, what he found in his devotion, how he found what he found now, and what he's serving. So, Ohad, maybe you can say, I don't even know how you found sacred sexuality. Like, because to me, when I think of Hasidism, I don't think of sacred sexuality. I think of the sex is divided, very strict laws, the man hardly touches the woman, da-da-da, you know, that kind of thing. So you made a huge transition here.
Yeah, I did. Well, to be honest, as a kid, I was very sexual and very spiritual, and there was a big fight in me between my urge for the divine and my desire for girls.
Oh yeah, the last time I saw you, you talked about the real G spot between God.
Yeah, the three G's that God, girls, and genitals. As a teenager, that was but I thought that the three G's are actually like the two, girls and genitals go together, but God, I thought, is, you know, the opposite way. So there was a big fight in me, and I actually, in my game, God won, and I went and I started to fight against my sexual nature. And at the same time, in the mysteries of Kabbalah, this is something that needed to be known. In the mysteries of Kabbalah, the most sacred thing is the communion between masculine and feminine energies. So Kabbalah is basically a very erotic and sexual wisdom. The only thing is that it doesn't speak about human beings. It speaks about divine lights in the divine realms. Yeah, but it's kind of it's cosmic sexuality, one can say. The whole study of Kabbalah is about cosmic sexuality. What happened with me, and I cannot explain it here, but after a while of studying, I actually started to see that the three G's are not fighting with each other, that God is not against those two, that actually there are one G spot. And that the sacred sexuality is the gate to the divine. And then I started to be in conflict with the Orthodox world, which was like kind of holding a lot of shame and guilt and fear on sexuality. And this is basically one of the main reasons that I left this world. In 2000, I left, and this is it. So if you ask me what's my passion today, my passion is to live and share what I live with, which is love, freedom, and power. For me, these three are actually the essence of Kabbalah as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the right side, the left side, and the middle. How we call it in Kabbalah, Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferet. These are the official names. So to live in love and in freedom together, this is a paradox that many people are struggling with. Because for most humanity, once you find love, you lose your freedom.
Right.
Once you go for freedom, because it's fake freedom, it's not real freedom, you lose love.
Yeah.
So, but in the depth of it, love and freedom are not opposite from each other. But they need to come with power, which is the center. So living as a powerful being that is powerful enough to be completely vulnerable and open-hearted and loving and not attached, at the same time not attached, but having inner freedom, this is what I'm passionate for myself. I live this way, and I share it with other people. I worked years until I started to share it with other people. Kind of my way of life is that before I feel like I'm really literate in something and I, you know, I'm kind of mastering something, I'm not really going out and saying, hey, I have something to share with you. I'm just working on it some years in my own lab.
In other words, you wouldn't put somebody through something that you didn't already try for yourself, and you tried it for a while. You tried it on.
I tried it on for years.
You wore it for a while. Yeah. It's well worn, and so you're going to give it to somebody else as this could possibly be an answer for you, or this is a possible way for you to go. I tried it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that has real integrity. I mean, that's power, you know?
Yeah. And power in a deep way is also being vulnerable, being in our divine being, in our divine self, and our human self, because this is what we are. We are some kind of a weird combination between totally divine being and a very human animal part of us. To really claim all that, it's to be very vulnerable. In that way, but vulnerability is power, it's not weakness.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to return to the subject of passion. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. Are you longing for more passion in your life? How about deeper intimacy? Would you happen to be stuck in a rut? I am so excited to tell you about the next ISTA Shamanic Spiritual Sexual Level 1 Training, March 8th to the 15th, near Tucson, Arizona. This is an 8-day residential retreat that will be led by myself, Crystal Dawn Morris, and Lance Cole. Thousands of people on 5 continents have benefited from this training over the past 10 years, and I'm thinking you could be the next one to receive the benefits. You'll awaken your ability to live and love authentically. You'll explore masculine and feminine energy through shamanic ritual, guided visualizations, dance, and breathwork inside of an amazing community. You'll be empowered to know yourself as whole and complete, and your heart will be free. You can go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on workshops to find out more about this amazing week-long retreat, and even better, you can register. You know, March is just around the corner. Almost forgot to tell you, we're offering another one in May in Montreal. That's May 25th to the 31st. Myself, Crystal Dawn Morris, and Frank Mondios. Go to Butterfly Workshops to find out more about that one, too.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
We just left off talking about your passion. We were talking about your and integrity. You know, how you told people that you wouldn't tell people to do something until you experimented with it in your own life, and how there's a kind of a duality you talked about, but between being human and being divine, and how it makes you very vulnerable. To be both, and we are both.
Exactly.
So Yeah, so let's talk a little bit more about that. Like, talk about some of the things that you found that you had to go through, you know, if you would, like, you know, to bring it into the human realm. So, because I think this is a common thing for people who are really grappling with the essence of life right now. Not everyone is, but certainly the people listening to my show are, or else they wouldn't be listening. They are grappling with their human aspects, their animal aspect, their sexuality, and they're trying to bring that into the realms of sacred so they can touch the divine a few times a week, maybe, you know, or maybe to be able to hang out there. So how did you deal with that? How did you make peace with that?
Yeah, in some ways I think this is the heart of the mysteries. My view on that is different than, like, Plato, for instance. Plato, the Greek philosopher, was expressing his feeling that the body is a jail for the soul. The soul is a being of itself, like free mm-hmm. and divine, and it's jailed in the body.
Yeah.
And you can find that after Plato, you can find that in Christianity, in Judaism, in Islam, in Sufism. Many actually very spiritual traditions look at the body and the soul as two different entities that are in conflict with each other. And I've been through that. Where I'm hanging out now is in a whole different way of realization, where I see the body as a manifestation of the soul, as a realization. It's like thing that just like go down and down into the physical realm. We are being manifested as a body.
Yes.
The soul is being manifested as a body. And so the body is not something else.
Yay.
Yeah, and so the body is divine. Kind of to say that to touch the divine is like, yeah, touch the divine, you know. This is the divine, but we don't feel it like that. We're not aware, like in our feelings, we're not there.
Yeah. Well, we've been taught.
And that,
listen, we could maybe feel that if we were taught something else from the beginning, but we weren't taught that.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to wrap the mind around that once the mind has been taught. This over here is kind of bad and lower urges,
yeah.
Satanic, all this stuff, when in fact, you know, we're not. We're beautiful.
All is beautiful. Even the animal in us is beautiful.
Yeah.
And this is the path, and this is also what we're working on in Ista, as you say, in level one, and more so in level two, is actually full reclamation of all that we are. The divine that is being, the divine self that is being putting itself as a soul that is coming down and putting itself as a body.
Mm-hmm.
And this body is an animal body. We are human animal. We are kind of a primate, you know, like a kind of a monkey, which is also divine. And nature is divine, just like the feminine part of the divine and the masculine part of the divine. So the feminine part of the divine is being immersed in everything. And the masculine part of the divine is being away from everything.
Right.
In a way, like being just like, in it's kind of nothingness and fullness. So the feminine, like in our life, the more feminine part of us loves fullness of colors and a hundred of shoes in your closet. And, you know, you love the fullness and many, and the sound of children in the house, or whatever fullness means to you.
Yeah.
The masculine part of us loves emptiness, loves just silence and simplicity and emptiness. Like in Buddhism, the feeling of shunyata, of like the essence of nothingness that is in the middle, which is the black hole in the middle of our galaxy.
Yeah.
So, and both of them are true. So the work for me is like really going into the animal and going into the divine in me, and making a shidduch between them. You know, it's, you know, we're making
it's like
a matchmaking.
It's a union.
Yeah, a marriage, making them love each other because they are not different than each other. They're actually the oneness of the divine that is expressed in just different ways, like feminine and masculine.
Yeah.
So we have the feminine part of us, the masculine part of us, the divine part of us, and the material part of us. And this is kind of a cross, if one would say, to, you know, if you want to put it like that, you know, up divine, down animal, right masculine, left feminine, if you want to put it like that. And can you come to the middle?
Yeah.
Can you live in the center? And a center that is not compromise of anything, but its center is actually reaching out to everything that I am. I am a woman, and I am a man. I am a divine, and I am a monkey. And I celebrate it all.
Got it.
So really to go into that, and it's a journey that takes, first of all, it's a fun journey. Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun journey in which you start basically to love yourself more and more. You incorporate more parts of who you are. Slowly, you're just like, oh, this is, again, another part of me. Another part of me is being loved and embraced into the wholeness of who I am. So, as we spoke, my journey was, you know, I climbed the mountain first of to spirit, up to the abstract.
Yeah.
And then I found that actually my spiritual journey is a descending one. It's not an ascending one.
Right. I found that too, but I didn't go where you went. But I do find that I feel the difference is that we're going down instead of shooting up. We're going down into the body and empowering the body with the divine that we find out about. More importantly, what I hear you saying really is that your life is an invitation. Like you put yourself out as an invitation for yourself and others to find their way into wholeness, into completeness, into what they call the gestalt, the complete gestalt. Like you took all the parts up and down and sideways and all the dualities and the things that people would have us divide over. And inside, the war inside ourselves of division, and you say, okay, I'm inviting you because I'm inviting myself to go, to bring the up and the down into the middle and to bring the two sides into the middle and to hang out in the uncertainty, in the discomfort of it because it's not neat. It's not neat and controllable and clean and, you know, pristine. It's so rich.
It's completely out of control. There's no need to control.
Exactly.
The need to control comes from fear. When you're afraid of something, you need to control it. And I see many spiritual seekers that are looking for control. Many tantra people are like, they want to control their ejaculation, you know. They want to control their sexual nature. And I'm like, take this world of control out of your dictionary. Mastery is not control. When you're a master, when you're an artist, you don't control the paints. You make art with it.
Yeah.
It's a whole different set of mind. So you try to control something when people try to control their animal because they're afraid of their animal.
Yeah.
And then the invitation is, meet your animal. Go down to the animal part and see what it is. What kind of an animal are you? And this here comes also the shamanic part, which we work with. And like, okay, so what are the animals that are working with you? What kind of spirit animal is embodied through you? And what are your guides in the spirit world? So I love to bring my, not only my Kabbalistic part, but also my shamanic part into the world of sexual mysteries and really working with power animals and totems and a lot of ceremonies we experience some together.
Yeah.
When you go into a ritual, you're in a real ritual, you go into a trance and you go into a zone that is allowing transformation to happen.
Yes.
I like it, as you said. My life is an invitation. I didn't think about it like that. But yes, I, Also, that's why I live in a very transparent way. You know, I've never, even when I was like more in the Jewish world and living as a rabbi in the last years, I was like, you know, I'm into sexuality. People didn't like it. I love the nude body. I'm a nude photographer also. Yeah. People didn't like it. I live polyamorous life. This is like a gewalt, you know, but I don't care.
Well, we're going to take a little break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what you have coming up. So how people can get in touch with you, how people can find out what you're doing, you know, the plans for at least the future then. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Hanlon. I'm really happy today because I'm interviewing Ohad. I have a great time with him. We laugh a lot together. There's a freedom. There's a free space when he's around. You can be who you are in total when Ohad is around, and I certainly experienced that with him. So I'm having a great time even today on our interview. We're going to talk about what's coming up next for him in his life. There are many, many things that he facilitates, and I want you to be able to know about those things and be in touch with him. So we'll be right back.
Hey, do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife, and plenty of entertainment, and there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When? October 10th to 17th, 2015. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica. Hey, just want to let you know that I have two new websites you ought to check out. There's lots of videos and lots of great advice that can possibly save your love life. Go to AskLaurieHandlers.com or SexAndHappinessInAMinute.com.
We're here with Sex and Happiness. You're listening to this radio show. I am Laurie Handlers, your host. And today it's my honor, actually, to be interviewing Ohad Esrahi. And we're talking about some things that are very important for you. Many of you have been listening to the show for a long time. I know it's changed you. I know you've transformed by listening. And this is a reflection. What Ohad is discussing is a reflection of the wholeness that actually can be yours. And so I want you to know how you can get in touch with him. Right now, I'm moved and touched and inspired to be working together with him and other core ISTA faculty to be bringing you the level ones, the level twos, and soon the level threes of ISTA, International School of Temple Arts. So I want Ohad to tell you what he's going to be doing in the next while, starting, I think, your next thing, I think, is in February, yeah?
That's right. First, I want to say that it was a delight to work with you, Laurie. It was like the laughter and the lightness and the depth that you bring to the field and your experience as an experienced woman. I really, it was a delight and really thank you. And we'll, as you said, we'll work more together.
I can't wait. The globe is ours as far as I'm concerned. You have to leave a couple of spots on your dance card. You know what that is? In the U.S., we have a thing, you know, I want to get on your dance card, write my name on your dance card, and then you have a dance. So I need a few spaces on your dance card.
Yeah, my dance card is kind of full for the next year,
yeah,
a year from now, but we'll find a place. So, as you said, the next thing is level one in Las Vegas, that a beautiful woman, Dr. Shelley who is a sexologist and a practitioner, which is very rare. She's putting it together, and I'll be facilitating ISTA Level 1 in Las Vegas mid-February.
Yeah.
With my beloved Dawn and another amazing woman teacher, sexy and powerful. Her name is Triambika, and she's from San Diego.
Yeah.
Very experienced woman. So that's next. After that, we're flying to New Zealand. That will be March in New Zealand. April in Israel will be Level 1 and Level 2.
Yeah.
And there, I chose to do in Israel after the Seder, you know, I do it, the Seder, which is the celebration of freedom. I do it in a whole different way, because for me it's like, stop talking about freedom, live freedom.
Yeah.
So we have like a night of freedom in the forest, in nature, and then the week after that we do the ISTA Level 1 and immediately ISTA Level 2. The end of May is we're going to start first step in the Muslim world. We will have Level 1 in Turkey, somewhere in a secret place, because we have to be careful, but not too careful. It's not like a dangerous place, but we want to have our quiet place. So we have a beautiful retreat center with a river running through. Turkey is amazing in nature, and that will be the last day of May and the first week of June. In Turkey, first step in the Muslim world, and I'm
beautiful.
So, you know, me as an Israeli, I'm so looking forward. And my wish and prayer is that some Iranians will come as well, because they can come to Turkey.
Beautiful.
And I've met Iranians already in Turkey, and we had a beautiful time together as Israelis and Iranians. So that's my wish, that more people from Muslim countries that are waking up today and standing up for love and for freedom, even though the regimes are horrible.
Yeah.
But they are strong enough and powerful enough to say we stand for love. And they find a way. So that will be Turkey. And then there's going to be England, the UK, in August. Again, Level 1 and Level 2.
And then Greece,
and we're going to see each other,
yeah.
Greece as well, Level 1 and Level 2 and Level 3.
In September.
I'll be involved in Level, in that September. So, basically what I did now is, you know, I'm so passionate about those trainings, and as you and I can confess, it's like it's a life-changing event. So I've quit anything I did before, all my Kabbalah teachings. I closed my institute in Israel. I actually closed my apartment, and I have a suitcase, and I'm just flying around the world and sharing this because I'm so excited. One thing I can say about it, it's not about sexuality.
Right.
People come and think, you know, it's about, of course, we work with sexuality, but because in Kabbalah, sexuality is connected to the power that we call foundation. Because sexuality is the foundation of the whole human being. So what happens when you change the foundation? The whole building is changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole structure is the whole gestalt.
I always look at the sexuality as the portal. You know, like if you say to people it's about sex, they get really excited, they want it. It's the portal, it's the doorway. They open the door and they've come in and they go, oh my goodness, this is my whole life. I'm changing my whole life here. And we go,
exactly.
Yeah, thank you for accepting the invitation.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then, as you know, people write to us letters like, you know, I didn't know, but it changed my relationship with my boss. It changed my relationship with money. It changed my relationship with my children, with my dog, with everything changes.
Everything. That's
yeah,
great.
And this is so, so touching, actually.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. All right, well, we're just about out of time at this moment. I really want to thank you and acknowledge you for being my guest today, and really for the work you're doing. You're so welcome. It's really my pleasure to work with you and to know you, and I just want the word to get out there because I, too, am very enamored and thrilled with my joining the faculty and becoming a part of it, and seeing the power of what we can bring to the whole world.
Yeah, we're fortunate to have you with us. And people should go to schooloftemplearts.org That's the website of ISTA International, schooloftemplearts.org.
Wonderful. Okay, Ohad, thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you so much.
Everybody, bye. Please tune in next time when I'm likely to have Ohad's partner, his primary partner, Dawn Sherry. I don't know yet, but I think she's going to be my next interviewee. So thank you so much for tuning in today to Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Hamler signing off. Namaste.
Lori. Bye-bye.
Namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-